audio. Duh.
Well, see, my setup is very uncomplicated. It's a Shure SM7B plugged into a Go XLR, which is just I just record with Audacity and then edit with DaVinci Resolve.
Oh, yeah.
So
gearhead.
Well, the thing is, I'm interested because I'm interested in learning. Well, I've got DaVinci that I use with my Blackmagic crap, and I use that for my video editing.
Sure, yeah.
But I'm also trying to learn how to do live audio mixing.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got a Midas, you know. Well, we talk about something. We don't need to waste time on this.
No.
You do your job.
Yeah. Well, brings us to why we're here.
This is the job. You kind of walked right into it because, yeah, first, welcome to the Wusos podcast where we talk about the Wusos Concert Cafe and all the people that are connected to it. I'm one of your hosts, Terry.
I'm Jason.
And this month, we're interviewing two people who are involved with kind of the reason we're sitting here. I was telling him about you didn't know what podcasts were when you were setting up One Week Live a couple years ago.
And I kind of did.
But you were wanting to put audio on the streaming services, and you kept using the word podcast, and then we ended up doing this. But anyway.
I was just looking for a workaround.
Yeah. But it ended up stumbling into something really nice.
Solving the problem.
Yeah.
Create the problem, solve the problem.
So this month we're interviewing Rich Narum?
Sure.
And Alistair Quaid.
Quaid, yep.
God, I didn't have to check my notes. I remembered. I never know. Sometimes people have really simple names. Sometimes people... Like, Alistair's not exactly a common name.
No.
And... So that part I felt at least confident in, but then
after
that I wasn't sure. But there you go.
No, I nailed it. Usually it's like quad A or quad, something like that. So you got it.
Oh, did I? I didn't even consider that it could be pronounced a different way. Oh, yeah, and these Shures are sure quiet.
I got a Dynamite inline preamp.
Oh, is it the cloud lifter?
Yeah, those little lifter things, yeah. Gives it like 40 dB boost.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Why are we here,
Jason? So how did you... I'm assuming you met these guys at some point and wrangled in their services.
It kind of happened in a few ways. Alistair, we met way back. What was your band way back when you first started playing here?
Portraits for Judith.
Right, Portraits for Judith.
Yeah.
Really awesome band, heavy band, kind of not exactly metal, but metal elements and rock.
More like
elements.
Prog rock.
Prog rock.
Almost, yeah.
And then he left town, went to Berkeley to go to school for production and music.
Yeah, I went for a lot of places actually. And actually, Berkeley was a little later, but I moved to Hawaii and moved a bunch of, I kind of traveled around for a little bit and I'd come back and done that and then the family hit.
Uh-huh.
And then I've been a dad in the hospital for a while.
Are you from here initially too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So, or is it just a matter of getting away and kind of seeing other things for a bit?
Yeah, back when, just some opportunities I kind of took advantage of when I was young and then kind of tried to move away from here and got sucked back into here. So I had no intention.
You should have had an Airstream.
Yeah, I had no intention of staying, but, you know, it's pretty cool. It's actually an awesome community, though, and, you know, places like this were, you know, super instrumental in my early playing and development as a musician and artist around in this area. So, you know, without us being able to play here and stuff, it would have been, you know, we wouldn't have gone to the places that we did and do that kind of stuff, too. So it was a super cool opportunity. So it's really fun to be able to kind of be on this side of it and be able to help out now in the ways that I can with the whole thing. So
yeah, it's weird how it came back.
Yeah.
And then now Alistair, he's mixed the last few One Week Live albums and mastered them.
Yeah.
And then when we got into the live stream, he also did the live stream mix for the last
two
years.
Yep.
And Rich did the video. So he's doing all the video for the live stream. So this is sort of the reason the live stream exists at the moment and sounds and looks so good. But I don't remember where we first met, but Rich has been a consumer of art and a photographer and a videographer, overall fun, very fun guy with a lot of amazing hobbies. I mean, infinite hobbies, and has a crazy house on the hill.
Nothing but opportunity, right?
Yep.
I'm sure that our paths crossed initially were directly related to No Room for Pogo, No Room to Pogo, or one of your bands in the, you know, mid-90s. I moved to Duluth in 89 as a permanent resident to get away from the windshield. And just, I want to do everything within a five-mile radius of where I live. And this place has it. And Alistair you know, people's, you know, attempt to leave, and we allow them to leave because we know the lake and the community is going to draw them back. And so
it's like the Amish.
There's many examples like that, but I mean, it's like go and explore and have those adventures, but we'll always have a place for you.
Where did you go? Where did you move from?
I'm really originally from the Northern Metro of the Twin Cities. And I went to school in Bozeman, went to school at the U of M, went to school at a community college in Anoka, went to school in UMD. But I originally came here in 86. For fall of 86, it was a kind of a, we were going to come up here to have early season snow, and then we were at a ski race all winter in Europe, which happened, and then moved back to the Twin Cities and got stuck in traffic, and it's like, this is not how I want to be. So then I came up here permanently in 89, fall of 89.
I mean, I kind of did the same thing. I just wanted to travel and tour, and I like all big cities. Then it was like, I think Duluth is just right.
Yeah, we tried the cities out too. We actually lived in St. Paul for about a year and a half or something.
And what was it that drew you back here then in the end that, or as you said, sucked you back in?
Well, my wife. Now, I mean, to be totally honest, you know, that had probably a pretty big thing to play, but she was from here, and I actually knew her when we grew up on the same street and stuff, and and I had moved away, and I was gone for a long time, and you know, so she was like the little sister of my friend and stuff, and so I had been gone for many years, and then we got reacquainted again, and we actually both really fell for each other, and it was really cool, and we've been together 18 years now, so got two kids, and you know. So that kept me here in this area, but yeah, I had a lot of plans to, I moved back from Hawaii, and I was going to head out to New Zealand, and I was going to do a whole bunch of stuff, and it is a really unique place, though. Like, it's funny, I seen like a really interesting topographical map of the United States the other day, and it's like the more west you go, just the more intense it gets topographically, so it just turns into like this sort of totally kind of flat thing. Like the Smoky Mountains and stuff have a little bit of elevation because they're like an old ancient mountain chain, but they're not as high as they used to be. But then the Rockies and Sierra Nevadas and all that get like really gnarly. Everything gets pretty heavy to the coast. And there's just like one very definitive blip, like right on the northern part of Minnesota right there. And it's the Duluth and the North Shore area. And you can see the elevation. And just, I think that little thing makes this place so unique. And it's just such a like unique area to be. It's in the Midwest, but it's got just a kind of different vibe and stuff. So even all the places that I've been to, it's still a really cool place to come back. So I think that kind of has kept me here too. And even in my future, if I look at like, I'd love to do like real estate and maybe have like, you know, VRBOs or something in the future and have places in different areas to be able to go. But I always feel like I'd have to keep like a home base here or whatever, because it's just, yeah, it's a great place. So
yeah. Yeah. Not, and especially nowadays too, when people talk about it being like a climate change haven and all that too, you're like, oh boy.
Yeah.
It's a valuable property.
Yep, yep. Probably maintain that for a little while.
Yeah.
Someone at the bar today was just talking about a film project they're doing that's going to be a comedy of climate refugees based in Duth.
Oh, that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I know. We'll see what really happens. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, also one fun thing about Alistair, you mentioned his kids, and he has two daughters, and one of them is Eowyn.
Yep.
And Eowyn has started to do sound here at the cafe.
Oh.
And Eowyn also did the art for this year's 1 week live. So if you've seen the really beautiful artwork,
I was wondering about that.
That is Alistair's daughter, Eowyn, because we were hanging out, and you're like, you got to see her art. I forget how it happened. You showed me on a pad, or she showed me, or something.
Yeah, I think I brought some up on my phone. The like, drawing she's done.
Are you kidding me? What in the world?
Yeah. No, she's outstanding.
I saw that on some graphic, and it's like, that is sweet.
It's so cool.
Yeah.
It was way cooler than I expected. I'm like, oh, she's got cool art. This is going to be great. And I was like, so wow.
Is this a You said kid. Was this a kid?
Oh, she's 17 now. Yep. Yep.
So. I know. Don't be sad. I know.
She has been so talented since she was young. Like, she showed like a real interest early on in art and music even too. Mm-hmm. So yeah, she kind of just glommed on. And then like when she was like 11 or 12, she kind of really started almost getting serious about drawing. Like, she just would sit there and just practice and just practice and draw, you know? And so it's funny because, you know, we talk about talent a lot, but it's like, so much of it is just from drive and fostering and just practice. And people don't see that part of it. And then they're like, look at how lucky you are. You got this talent. And it's like, well, that's because I spent like 10 hours a day obsessively drawing people or whatever. So,
yeah. Oh, no, well, same as sound. Yeah. I mean, you went to Berkeley and banged it out there. And,
And
you're doing projects all the time. You're doing stuff for all kinds of people. And you're working every day.
Yeah.
You know, generally, there's just no shortcut. You have to walk that mile.
Exactly.
And so, I mean, and they don't. People don't recognize, because they haven't walked that mile, that it's actually it's a full mile. Oh,
yeah. And then some. Yeah. I feel like you go past a lot of the time and you got to circle back because you just way overshot. It's like
one
man.
Of my like proudest, I don't even know, it feels like accomplishments or achievements is this bump I have on my middle finger from sitting and drawing for, 20 years or something now at this point. So and it's just, it's like the physical thing I can look down and be like, oh yeah, I worked really hard to get whatever cartoons I have.
Nice bump.
Exactly. Exactly. And nobody will know what went the true pain that went into creating that.
But
it's not a wart.
Yeah.
But then also,
probably not.
We could freeze that off.
Oh no, how dare you? No, I just said it's my proudest accomplishment. I don't care about graduating college. I care about this stupid bump on my on my finger.
That's the thing that got you through college, probably.
I got you seriously then, So, how did you guys get into your respective fields? I mean, and like, so Rich, I mean, are you doing video like a lot, or are you doing? I mean, I guess Jason was saying you're doing all sorts of stuff, but
yes, I'm a computer scientist, and so that's how I fuel my fun, I guess. And I've done visual art forever. I've been a photographer for all of my adult life. And when we're all collectively hanging around at either the preamble of the Wilco show or the interim of the Wilco show, and somebody said out loud, well, they're going to cancel Homegrown. You know, so my heart just dropped. It's like, of course they're going to cancel Homegrown. And so this
you're talking about the pandemic.
Pandemic,
This I wanted to bring this up, actually.
So we're at the Wilco show, I think that this somewhere in March, I think it was. And it was Wilco's second to last show. They played in Duluth, and then they went, I think, to Toronto, but somewhere in Canada. And then the rest of the tour was canceled. And then the country went into lockdown, and of course, Homegrown was canceled. So as long as I've lived in the house that I live in, we've hosted minimally a Thursday afternoon soup social of the Thursday of Homegrown. And this was going to be our 10th anniversary. And come hell or high water, I was not going to be put out from celebrating the 10th year of this event. And so I talked to Bryce Kastning, who is a good friend of mine and a friend of the cafe. And he's a great production sound engineer. I said, hey, will you help me with this, and we'll figure it out as we go. And he goes, yeah, I'm down. Well, let's do it. And so we filled out the bill, and we were all COVID aware and, you know, social distancing and respectful of space, held the event. It was virtual. And Bryce said, well, let's just keep this going. And so, you know, all of our friends, they're either musicians or they're bartenders or they're wait staff or they're all of the above. And that's how they made their living. They're all gig workers. And so all the gig workers, they got the solid punch in the stomach, and things were turned, you know, they all of a sudden they were out of work. And so we were just trying to, you know, kind of show and demonstrate our respect and our love for them. And it's like, hey, you know, we get it. And so everybody got a very mild stipend, but people were paid to come in and share. And that happened. And then Sacred Heart wanted to get involved, and they asked us to help do that. And then through kind of all of that, then Jason, I guess, I don't know if it was obvious or not, but we were doing it and we were being successful at it. And I would say legitimately, we had the best sounding live feeds of anybody in the region. The video, which I was in charge of, might have been not the best, but the sound was A1.
And, you know, that's what people always say, is that you can have crappy video, but as long as your audio is clear, people don't really care.
Exactly. And every show that we did, there would always be some human error, and almost always mine. But but nonetheless, so that it was not made by robots. Humans did this.
Yeah.
You know, and so there was a human component to it. So Jason asked if I'd help out, and it's like, heck yeah, man! I love everything about what Jason does. He's been the most supportive, longstanding institution in this community. Mm-hmm. There's been many. There's many players that are helpful and supportive, but Jason and his team that are here, the most consistent, never-ending supporters of the art. And without it, I mean, we would be in, you know, we would, it would be a shit show. We would not have Duluth the way we have it right now. Mm-hmm. And I my heart goes out to you and the team. It's a total kick-ass environment. And it's because of this crew that fosters the rest of all of this creativity. And so, and it's just like, it's not just an open door policy. It's like the hugest open door policy. It's like, can't get any more open. Everybody in all caps, welcome. Yeah. And super love that. So thank you for that, Jason.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's awesome.
I know, and I can agree with that. Like the interesting connections that are made just by hanging around here.
No, yeah. It's you know, you have to create the space for creativity mm-hmm. and magic. And that's exactly what Jason and his team have done. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just, you know, you bring your own pixie dust and, you know, here it goes.
It even helps me with my venture that I've got going, and just even in practicing letting go of spaces and sharing and being open to that kind of thing, because we can get so tied to our own ideas and our own stuff. And especially once we put, you know, the blood, sweat, and tears and putting something together, it's hard to let people in sometimes, and to be able to have such an inclusive place like this where it's almost a shared space in a sense, in a lot of ways. It's just like, it's really cool. So yeah,
no,
it's awesome.
I absolutely agree.
Keeps changing. It's a slow meandering little river.
The evolution.
Hey, well, organics, baby.
Yeah, isn't that kind of what we've been talking about, though? The name of the game is just slow but steady.
Yeah.
Just keep moving.
Just keep on working hard and keeping at it. Yeah.
And try to learn from your mistakes, you know?
Just action steps.
Rich has this crazy old house, and he's always fixing it. And so he has so many jobs. He's a computer scientist. He has like a pile of secret computers that he does experiments on, and he's always like doing, like trying to make like efficiency in this old house. Like some of his ideas, I mean, I don't even know where to start. But he also, I mean, he'll be on the roof fixing some. He kind of has it's an old mansion, really, but it's like it is an old mansion, but it needs a lot of work, and he keeps working on this thing. So he has like a full-time job, and we don't need to mention it if you don't want, but a very heavy-duty full-time job, and manages tons of people, and then he has this heavy-lift house, and then he has these awesome concerts at his house, and then even helps this place do the live stream, because I would not know how to do it. And
yeah, it sounds like for as much as you were talking about Jason helping out, you do your part.
And then skiing and everything else. I mean, it's like...
Well, I mean, what I would say is it is a community, and if you don't see it as a community, if you don't see your part in it, then you're not part of that community. And I believe in what everything is happening here and at WUSO's, what Jason does, what Alistair's up to. Believe in all of that, and I want to do what I can to support it. And so I can support it sometimes in technology, sometimes I can just go buy a ticket, sometimes I can buy a piece of art, mm-hmm. sometimes mm-hmm. I can make my own art. The house, it's an 1891. I like to call it a large Victorian.
Victorian.
And people are like, when are you going to be done with that? It's like, well, when I'm dead, because it's a house that keeps on giving, you know, plenty of opportunity.
Man. It'd be like painting a ship, but by the time you get to the end, you got to start over.
No, it's absolutely.
Yeah. That sounds cool. Yeah. I love building stuff. Yeah. That sounds awesome.
I have a friend of mine who's an engineer, but he has kind of the same kind of, it's like, it's not pure engineer mind. There's definitely like a creative twist to it.
Well, you know, there are plenty of really, really, really top-notch coders, and that's all they do, and they really can't see the artistry in it necessarily. But if you can step back and add art to anything that you're working on, you're going to end up with a better product, I think. So
now, Alistair, I feel like you're kind of almost on a different side of that, where it's like you're adding technical stuff to art, being doing all the sound engineering and whatnot. Yeah. So we talked about this a little bit as we were setting up. Talk about the studio you've got. How you ended up there and how that's going.
Yeah. It was opened in actually like 2019, I think, by my business partner, Anthony Miller. And so he opened it with another person. And it was a startup that they had some traction kind of going early on and stuff, and things were going all right. And then there was some changeover and some stuff, and I had been working and actually finishing up school stuff. I was finishing up my Berkeley stuff here. I was finishing up the online portion. I did the rest of it online. So I'd been finishing that up, and that's when I'd hooked up with those guys and was kind of helping out when I could. And for me, I was kind of wanting to kind of learn about the studio. And I think just sort of my education and everything put me in a position. And then I've played for years and years and years. I played since, God, I was 10, I think, is when I first started playing guitar and learning piano. And then done the band. And I'd done a lot of time with that. And another band in town, Silence Evolved. Did we ever play here with Silence Evolved?
I don't know.
I think it was me, Nick, and Tom. Just the three of us.
I don't even have my phone. I'd have to look. I probably have, if there might be a MySpace in there somewhere.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, right. Oh my God, that's so funny. I think we might have played here once when we had that iteration of it too. And that was kind of a later one. We had taken a break and then I'd done another band with these guys and whatnot. But yeah, so like music had always been a really big thing for me. And so I was a player and then I started playing drums more recently and I became pretty proficient at that. And then, you know, with the bass. And then once I was going back through Berkeley, I had a lot of piano and a lot of other different classes. So I just kind of started really picking up more instrument stuff. I kind of started leaning. I had gone out. I worked for the city of Duluth for many years. I was a fleet services coordinator. So I was in the automotive side. Before the music stuff. I mean, I'd always been a musician, but then I kind of went on a path. When you get a family, you start trying to do different things. Right, so right. I was a carpenter and I built houses for a while and I worked on airplanes and I painted and I was an automotive painter and mechanic and did all these different things to kind of try to make it work. Because really, the ultimate thing I wanted to do was music. And I just was constantly chasing my tail because I wasn't doing what I wanted to be doing. And so it all led back to this and deciding to go finish my degree and finish my stuff. And I got actually reaccepted into Berkeley. And I was able to finish up what I needed to do and ended up with my 4-year degree in music production and songwriting, which to my parents would probably sound like a terrible waste of money, but I'm actually doing something with it now. And there was a reason for going to do it, which is what I try to tell my kids is that, you know, I mean, I know everybody wants college and things like that, but sometimes if there's not an exact reason to go for it, you can really put your money in the wrong direction at that time. And when you need the skills to push yourself forward in the direction that you're headed, then see what's out there, you know, and then go for the best. I mean, if you're going to give yourself the skills, I mean, might as well go big. So that's kind of where I went. And kind of just started to fall into place. Things at the studio were kind of turning around. So there was an opportunity for me to kind of step up. And I was building my own studio anyways. I had stuff at my house going on. I was already starting to mix for people and doing my own thing. And then it kind of one thing led to another. And we had a good conversation about it. And Anthony, I took over the studio and he remains a partner in the studio. But I'm kind of running the show now and doing the deal. So
and
since
Pinnacle
Point Studios, yep. And so since November of 2023, I've been doing that and things have been progressively picking up. We've had some actually really awesome clients, really awesome bands, really good people coming in, really cool. It's just been like super fun to be. And I think the biggest thing, kind of a lot of things are coming in here, but there's kind of the biggest thing that's been really enjoyable is like actually like I like the recording and the mixing and stuff like that, but like working with the people and kind of my like unique value proposition that I have in the studio that I feel like I kind of bring to that studio is that I can produce music for anybody in just about any genre and I can play the instruments for it. So we can do live music production, we can do drums, bass, guitars. So, and it makes it affordable for people too, because since we can do it in-house, we don't have to hire studio musicians, things like that. Now, if we were going to go to like say a next level and it was like a really high-end jazz album or something like that, I would have like a jazz guitar player probably do something for the album and not myself. But like for all intents and purposes, we do some really great work on that. And that's been really fun because it's been able to have like some singer-songwriters that don't have a band. They don't have like a full thing. They can actually like hear what their song would sound like with drums and with bass and with the whole works and sound like a real song and get ready to release. And it's like a really cool way to connect with people in that way in a lot of different genres, which I didn't know I would kind of enjoy so much because I tend to listen to metal and I'm mixing a lot of folk. So
it's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Surprise, surprise.
I like ska and my latest record is a gospel album, which is really kind of funny.
But it's fun. Isn't
know,
it interesting?
That I just recorded and you mastered.
Awesome. Yeah, I did. Yeah. That's so cool though. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But what fun. And like, and that was a great opportunity. And that's a great example too, because it was a great connection, another community connection and somebody else that was, it was fun to meet. And
what's fun to turn people hit me up. I'm like, I'm busy, but check with Alistair.
Yeah, exactly.
I just mentioned your name to someone the other day. I'm like, I'd love to do this, but I just can't.
Yeah.
I'm too busy.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Yep. And I definitely appreciate that. Yeah, it's been helping us keep growing. So
yeah.
And Mary says hi too, by the way.
Which
Mary? Mary Mack.
You did voiceovers for her?
Yep.
Oh, so, and I said, for the next Solar Opposites?
Yep.
Oh, cool.
We did the season finale, season six.
Okay.
Then, yep.
Are you doing Maria Bamford too then?
I haven't done her. We had done a few episodes of an old show, Human Resources, back a while ago.
Okay.
And she hasn't been back in for any voiceover work since then. But Mary might be coming back for some work on another show she's doing. She's doing she does some voiceover work on a Disney show called, it's one word. Oh my gosh,
it's
a cartoon. I can't think of it.
DuckTales.
No. Oh my gosh, it's a newer one. I can't think of the word.
It's all one word.
Okay.
Yeah, anyways, it's a newer Disney cartoon that she does some voiceover work on. So, but I said hi for you, and she was excited. She said, "Oh, Jason, that's awesome."
That's so cool.
Yeah, so it was really cool.
He's the best.
So, yeah, so it's been really interesting. Kind of a weird way to get into that, but I think I was going to start a studio regardless, either way. And so that one just happened.
That works out.
And it was beneficial for everybody. So we're all happy now and working towards making some good music here. So,
hey, is there anyone that to look out for? Any new album coming out that?
Yeah.
You're most excited about?
Well, I just finished up an album with a band, Small Town Syndrome. They're from the range. They've been doing a lot of touring. I did their latest album called Dragonfly. We did 7 songs at the studio. Yep.
Is it coming out soon?
It's out now. Yep.
It just
released.
On.
It's on Spotify. Yep. So you can check those guys out. And that's Small Town Syndrome, an SINDROM.
Ooh, hype man over here.
Yeah. Yeah, no, those guys are actually, they're really fun. They were great guys to work with.
And a great band name, too, on top
yeah,
of that.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
I really like that.
Exactly. And they've been doing some bigger tour stuff, too. They were touring out in California and doing a whole Midwest tour. They were doing some European tour stuff, too, even. So they're really pushing to try to get out there and do it. And we've had a really good time recording them, and they've been real happy with the production stuff that we've been able to pull off there. So it's been
cool.
It's been fun, yeah. So that's one of the latest ones. Yeah, there's a lot of people I'm working with right now though, actually. Some fresh stuff, so I'll keep posted.
Well, Alistair will be mixing the live stream October 7th through the 12th down here in this studio.
Yeah.
And Rich will be doing the video upstairs. And it's cool too, because when Alistair started, we mix on all analog, and when he went to school, there was no analog.
Yeah.
Everything's digital.
Yep.
So it was kind of fun, just the learning curve of actual knobs and patching in compressors and reverbs, and it's totally different.
What do you think was a bigger learning curve, like just getting into the whole audio engineering to begin with, or having that digital analog shift?
The thing that I'm finding to be the most true about that whole situation is that they both help to understand each other, and understanding analog helps to know why the digital works. And then it also, for me, I like digital better because I learned on it and it's faster. Mm-hmm. So for my workflow, it's just like way faster. Like I've got access to, a lot of really high-end reverbs and delays and stuff that I would have to buy an actual analog piece for and then patch and do that kind of stuff. Which when you've got a really good chain set up and you're recording and you've got everything kind of dialed in, you've got your choice pieces of gear, that's okay. But kind of the genre jumping and some of the stuff like that, it's really helpful to be able to have access to all these different types of tools. And
multiple colors, not just if you work with Jason, you get this color.
Sure.
Yeah. But you work with Alistair, you got a lot of colors.
Yeah, sure. Right, exactly. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of tools out there, and the digital world has just come so far, like the tone and everything is so good now. So it's like, it's really comparable. And so I think it's kind of, I think anybody who does it should learn both of them, because it helps to understand the whole picture a little bit better. And it did for me. It really, like, the analog is just like super tied it in. So it's been awesome. Plus mixing live sound is like way different than mixing.
Especially live sound. Alistair's helped upstairs in a pinch for me.
Yeah.
And now you got feedback and phase cancellation, exponential versus studio, because anything you boost, or it affects everything in a live room much more because of the feedback and the shape of the room and the frequencies and the phasing.
Yeah.
Reminds me of doing when I was at UMD and doing audio for theater and doing mic checks before one of the shows, and they had me doing some messing with the EQ on their big mixer board thing. I couldn't hear anything. I couldn't tell. I was just futzing with it and going, ah.
Just oh, a bunch no. of lows coming in. A bunch of highs.
Terrible. I was just
a smiley face, right? That's what I do in my car.
I just tried to keep it. I kind of just kept it about to where it was. It yeah. sounded fine enough.
Yeah. Well, going back to the analog digital thing and switching back to Rich. Rich is like always like cutting edge, in my opinion, compared to me on film and video and cameras. I mean, I remember my early homegrowns. Rich is like the one in the front row with like the most expensive camera getting beer spilled on it. You know, just like a daredevil with his cameras. But did you start with film? Did you?
I bet. I have been shooting on film since about 1980 or so.
Yeah.
And used to develop all my own stuff.
Yep.
I have all the darkroom equipment, but none of the time. So
right. I also so I started just, that way back too, and the noodles in the darkroom and the shaking them and the stopping the fix and the it was fun. The little red light and
that's cool.
It's super satisfying to watch. Image.
And the smells, that even though it's super, I don't want that anymore.
No,
but at
I'm
the
sure
time, if I smelled that, I'd be like, I'd be back.
All the toxins, but you would. It's like all of a sudden you've just time warped back to 1985.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. That's awesome. The take home message there is though is that you don't want to buy any of my used equipment. I actually don't sell it. I mean, it's just I use it up.
It's a Bill Withers tune.
It's like,
So are you using a Blackmagic camera these days?
I've got the camera that we try to set up kind of to get like the widest angle shot of the stage is a Blackmagic 6K. And it has it. And then we try to color match to that because it really has the nice warmest tones mm-hmm. and it's really lovely. But then Jason and I also have a couple of Fujis that have really really sharp vivid colors, which mm-hmm. are also kind of cool. And so you gotta struggle to match those up, I guess, ultimately. But I wish I had all Blackmagic cameras, but because of the using the switchers that we're using, Blackmagic switchers, it carries back the ability to do color adjustment, focus, and such right in the software controls of the video switchers.
Oh, so, just like the sound.
Yeah. So I've never actually probably demonstrated but you can imagine that.
I can imagine it.
So if it's all Blackmagic, you can control all of the cameras remotely.
Yeah,
and so that's super handy.
And I know now with the most recent Resolve Studio update, they've added a lot of multicam options to that software as well.
Yeah,
I had done some multicam stuff, and I guess I don't remember how I'd accomplished it, but I guess it's easier nowadays. So
maybe.
I know, right?
It's likely easier.
Yeah, right.
Or it's certainly different.
Yeah.
I find none of it easy. I thought, oh, this will be easy. It's like, oh, it's COVID. I'll just get this ATEM Blackmagic mixer and I'll just be do live streaming. And then I'm like, wait, I still don't know how to do it. And I still don't have any time to learn. Oh no, Rich, help.
No, it's very complicated. It's not as complicated as you might think, but I try to make it seem like it's complicated so I have a job.
We did one live stream without Rich. And he's like at a glance, like, and he gave us like a manual. It was like pages. And I'm like, I hope nothing goes wrong. Cause like, once in a while, Rich will be like, oh no, there's a problem. And he'll be like, and it's just like, I'm just like, I would just go like, oh, it's not happening.
Cancel.
The very first show we did at Sacred, they were borrowing their neighbor's internet, and it was an approved borrow.
But it's a Wi-Fi, not a hard line.
It was Wi-Fi, and it's absolutely impossible. We cannot get this. There's no way that we can produce this show.
You were trying to stream
neighbor's
Wi-Fi?
And they had assured me that all of the things were in place, but they really didn't really understand what things were needed, in fact, ultimately. And luckily, on one of the laptops that I had brought, I had OBS on there. And I said, okay, I think we can re-swizzle this whole thing and I can capture it and record it and then produce it and then shoot it back out to YouTube, which is what we did, which is otherwise it would have been an awesome private show with four people in the audience, you know.
Yeah. What was the show?
I wanted to say that I think that it was Jimmy Cooper and Susie Ludwig Dance Addict. I think I'd have to go back and confirm that, but I think it was Dance Addict was the first of the events that they wanted to kick off, and it hadn't not been that one I had experience with an alternate approach. And had the equipment there, it would have just been, you know, a dozen people coming to the studio for no reason. Mm. But private show.
That's called the quick fix.
Yeah. You know, the Duluth does have the experience where if my best friend isn't in the band, I'm not going to go. And they just miss brilliant, brilliant shows at times. Yes. But it is just so really
disappointing. Some of the very best shows here, no one knows them. And I mean, it's like you can... You can have a write-up. You can have an interview on 103.3. You can do a boosted post. You can have the best opening groups. And for some reason, it's a sunny day and no one comes.
Yeah, it's the same with like Pro Tools and stuff.
Oh,
like,
I bet
when it comes to that. That is a black box of doom and despair if you push too many buttons wrong. Oh my God, it's a shortcut. It's so shortcut friendly, and I love the shortcuts, and they do speed up the workflow like crazy. But God forbid you accidentally push like Control Alt N instead of M, and you're like, uh oh, that didn't do what I thought it was. Now what did I just do?
That's because what I happens have no to me sometimes. Like someone else will maybe Dan will come and use the studio, and he'll open something from like an old brush strokes, and it'll like change something to something.
Yeah.
And I'll be trying to do something. Normally when I do this, it does that, but it won't. Yeah. I'm on forums like.
Yeah,
trying to figure out
why
what
when
is
I play back
it.
Does it come back at half speed?
Yeah, what is happening?
Which is also, it's worth noting then that this computer isn't connected to the internet because you don't want anything updated. So you're like trying to Google.
Well, I'm Googling on my phone. Yeah. Like 20 years ago when they first invented this thing.
It's like pre-Reddit.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. Like, where did you get this computer?
This thing's 20 years old.
Yeah, so.
We call it the cheese grater.
That's a testament to, hey, I really don't need a subscription to have the latest, greatest. And it's actually all there.
Right.
You just have to believe in it.
Well, it's like the Mac we had, my God, I think it was over a certain amount of years old or whatever. So it only goes up. Evidently, Macs only go up so many operating systems before they stop giving them updates.
Yep, right. Yep.
And
yep.
Then if you go, God forbid, you try to update it,
yep.
It goes into this like endless boot loop that deletes all your data.
Yep.
And then you lose all your files and all your song work.
This has happened to so many people
I
know.
You upgrade to a PC instead like I did and get back to business again.
Because
you can sit and leave it for 20 years and it will still run.
You can work like a grown-up.
Unless you went on the internet a bunch of times. But.
Yeah. Yeah. Not all this futzing around with Apple mumbo jumbo.
I know a lot of studio owners would not agree with me on that.
But. Well, it's also
everyone gets into that, and it doesn't matter. It's like a tool.
Yeah.
Does it work or not? Do I know how to use it? But I'm not the scientist who can fix it if it doesn't work.
Right.
That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and having that thing disconnected from the internet, that's a purpose-built machine. It's designed to do what it's doing.
It's like a lawnmower.
And all of the parts are of the same vintage. So as long as you don't introduce change, you're fine.
Yeah.
And having it disconnected from the internet, you don't have change.
Yeah.
And that's the thing too with like those Macs, like every single update, like I use Slate Digital plugins a lot. That's my kind of go-to plugins that I use for my kind of higher end stuff. And every time there's a new OS for Apple released, they say, don't do it. They make you wait. And Windows, it's fine. It's like, up, doop, doop, doop. And you just keep updating and everything's good. And for Mac, they're like, don't. If you upgrade now, it's not going to work. All the stuff. And so it's such a finicky thing with that. And I know that they're really stable. And, you know, I will say in defense to the Mac that when it was working and when it ran really efficiently. The plugins, it ran like optimally, I would say. So like it seems to be optimized slightly better than Windows running Pro Tools,
but
not
cost?
Enough. Yeah.
You know?
At what cost? Yeah. Exactly. Yes. not
literal cost.
Yes, well, that cost me the whole hard drive. I just recently had some clients come back that were like, hey, we did some stuff like, you know, a year ago at the studio or 2 years ago at the studio. You still got it? It's like, well, I did until like a month ago. Mm. And now we don't. So sorry.
Well, this has been a blast.
Yeah, I was just going to ask one last thing is if you hadn't had any of your own projects that you wanted to talk about or any other interesting, notable things happening.
Just completely off the wall altogether. I just got back from the North House Folk School in Grand Marais, where I took a 5-day beginning introduction to timber framing.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Oh my gosh, it was like going to, you've heard about going to the dude camps out west, where you just go out to the ranch and you work for 5 days.
Yeah.
That's what I did.
I used to go and watch them. I'd play like 2 nights in Grand Marais. I'm like, what am I going to do? I'm like, oh, I walk down to the folks' school. I'm like watching them chopping wood and chiseling and drilling. So, do you drill holes with a hand drill?
We hand drill.
And made pegs and pegged them together?
No, the pegs, we didn't make the pegs. But we built a 16x20 timber frame structure from 8x8x16 foot wet white pines.
Wet white pines.
Yeah, and so there were 16 of us that worked for 40 hours. So ooh. 40 times 16 plus two instructors. And it was super fun.
I bet. It's weird that sounds great.
It was great. So it has nothing to do with anything other than...
No, but that's exactly what I was wondering about. Other little things you guys are getting up to.
Well,
I guess I was wondering too. So you're a lot of visual stuff. You're a lot of audio stuff. Do you ever do the opposite? Like, are you a musician at all?
No, I'm not a musician. I played my trombone through college.
Okay.
And
yeah, I played French horn in high school.
Yeah. So
oh, that's a musician.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but I don't, you know, I am a consumer. And
you
so.
You just whacked people in the head.
So, yeah. Well, I said well, you're absolutely correct, because where do the trombones sit? Who plays trombones? Troublemakers. Where do the troublemakers sit? In the back. How come? Because you need targets.
But you have choreography. It's the choreography that makes a trombone right.
That's true. So when Alistair lets me come over and intern over at his at Pinnacle, I'll be over there volunteering and doing that. Because I would love to learn how to do live studio mixing.
Sure,
so
yeah.
I think it'd be a lot of fun.
That'd be fun. I'd just come hang out and do some mixes. I got like too many to do right now.
Yeah.
So I just got a new band yesterday I recorded that is going to be coming out soon. So be looking for that. Demons, I Guess. Demons, I Guess. Yep. And they're actually really
close. Are you pitching them to contact me for shows if they're good?
Yes, dude. Well, they've got some, but I thought about you the whole time I was recording them. I literally did. I was like, these guys are perfect for at Wusos. So I will mention that. But there's just a couple guys, actually. There's two of them, and they do all their own stuff, drums. So they're kind of all switching between the different
instruments. Oh, it's like a studio project.
Yeah, project. Yep.
That'd be a hard loop project.
It would be, but I think they could pull it off
Run.
In the right situation. Yeah, that would be tough, though. But yeah, so we got some new stuff coming up. But yeah, anytime, man. That'd be fun. I'd love to.
Love it.
Share some of the... It's all digital now, too, so it's like all just on the computer, which, when you're a computer science guy, so that probably makes total sense.
I stare at my analog board and I go, I have no idea how to make this thing work. But then if I pull up the Midas interface, it's like, yeah, I can get my way through this.
Yeah,
I would like to do better than that. I would like to actually, you know, get to the point where I actually can make it sound good.
Yeah.
But
that's awesome though.
Yeah.
What's your fun hobby thing?
You know, honestly, just doing the startup has just taken so much of my time in life now that I feel like this is my hobby and my job and everything right now, which is a little challenging. Mm-hmm. But no, I like to...
Bubble baths?
Yeah. That sounds amazing. Big thing is mountain biking for me, actually.
Oh, yeah, you're the mountain biker. Yeah.
But my bike broke this year, so I haven't been able to mountain bike, and I've been working so much that...
Now you're a studio engineer, so you don't have any money to fix your bike.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. No, that's facts. And so we got to get these mixes done.
Or else I'm going to have to go back to building houses.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, that's always in the back of my hand or back of my mind, just thinking about, like, you know, I could
get a nail through
go back to the government.
Finger.
No, I don't think I could anymore. But no, just pretty much just hanging out. And I really like making music now, and I'm kind of working towards. But I didn't have, you know, it's kind of funny because of course you like making music. Now I'm mixing a bunch of other people's music, so I don't have time to make my own music. But that's okay, because at least I'm doing this instead. But the making the music part, something I will be working on is music library, and that eventually I'll be introducing to the area so that people can submit to for placement in sync licensing and stuff, because that's one of my big passions. So about the crossover, I actually probably equally, I love watching TV, like shows, like movies and stuff. I love the background music, love the composition of everything. Like I really like film and television. Like that's always been something that I really enjoy, and I really like the music to it. And I feel that all of all the shows that I like the most, one of the biggest like things that connected me with like say the director or the movie or something is like the combination of like visual and audio together is like the best thing ever. Yeah. Like Tim Burton and like Danny Elfman and like those kind of like combinations. Like I just love that. So I really want to create source music for film and TV because I think it's a really cool way to reach people in a subtle way that's not like pop music or mainstream where you're competing with the music industry. You're competing with other kind of basement people that are also making music. So we're all
textural basement dwellers.
Yes, exactly. Yes. And so that's
with mailbox money.
Yeah. Ooh. I think there's a lot of us that could use a different outlet for music, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that that's kind of one of the things this music library could create for this area is some opportunity for some of the musicians and artists to like have a different avenue to do with their album. Like, yeah, let's make an album, let's produce it, let's go and play a bunch of shows and stuff. But let's also submit to this music library and see if we can get any syncs on a TV show or something, because that'll be residual royalties and all that stuff. So,
yeah, that's a cool idea.
Yeah. So stay tuned. My side project and
love it.
Spare time.
Do you have many Ranchero songs?
Yeah, not yet. No.
And then so 1 week live is what days again?
Starts Monday, October 7th. Which there's a change up on the poster because there was one cancellation. But Baba Flats, if you've ever heard of these guys, I just saw them at Squash Fest. Phenomenal jazz group, and it's cool. Gonna be with the Hot Club of Duluth and then Bechtet.
Yes.
So that's Monday night kickoff. It's jazz night, Monday night jazz night, October 7th. That is something we haven't really done at 1 week live. It's hard to get jazz players out, and to get three amazing jazz bands in one night, I think, gives me a little bit of goosebumps.
That's awesome.
And there's a bunch of other crazy good stuff, but it's a great kickoff night.
No, I don't know the Baba Flats.
They will blow your mind.
But they're so good. Hot Club and the Bechtet, just crush both of those
groups. It's going to be very good.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
And so people can either come here or they can watch.
Yep, you can tune in the live stream.
The live stream, when it's available, will be on the Wusos channel.
On the Wusos
YouTube.
And it'll go live right when we... a little bit before, it'll pop up and it'll be like, do-do-do-do. Yeah. I have a little poster and then... It'll just start.
Yeah.
On time.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
Almost always now. Really?
Got down to science now.
There will not be technical issues. There never has been and never will be.
I've learned the difference between live stream is TV, and my old hippie days is like, oh, maybe another 20 minutes. One day Rich is like, what the heck are you doing? I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, it's a live stream. People, there's, I'm like, and then I'm, what about the employees? They want to go home too. Oh yeah. What about the last band? They want to play on time. I'm like, thanks, Rich.
Schedule. Keep them in line.
I like that. I need help. A lot of help. A lot of help from my friend.
That's the tagline of this episode, of this show. Help from my friends.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I need more help too. Yeah. What's a host?
Yeah. We'll put and if you're listening to this the week this comes out, all this stuff is happening next week. Yeah. To summarize, and I'll put links in the description.
In 6 days.
Yeah. So, anyway.
So fun. Thank you guys for coming.
Thank y'all.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us. Yeah.
Go see the sun. Get out of this dark basement.